Good afternoon, everybody. How many of you have been to, how many for you is this the first time in the city council chambers? Raise your hand if it's your first time. All right. Did anybody raise your hand? Okay. So there's a little speech I give before we start every proceeding, and the little speech says that if you're under local law, if you're a lobbyist authorized to represent or speak on behalf of a for-profit or a non-profit business organization, you need to disclose that. And the way we deal with testimony is you get 1 to 3 minutes, depending on how many people signed up. We call in the order of the program and in the order that people sign up. We call four at a time. You just come up and sit at one of the four chairs. It doesn't matter which one. Speak close into the microphone, and the clock on the front of that big hunk of wood counts down your time. So if you're in the middle of your remarks and you see the clock, that's how much time you have left, not how much more time you have. It's how much time you have left. I think I got that right. Close enough. This is Carla. She's the council clerk, and she does a fantastic job. And we also have security in the room. If any of you are feeling insecure in any way, we have security that can address that. No, I'm joking. We're really glad that you're here. City Council will come to order. Today is Wednesday, February 1st, 2012. It is 2 p.m. Carla, can you please call the roll?
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Leonard?
Here.
Adams?
Here. Can you please read the title for report, which is title for item number 116.
Accept report on the education efforts funded by Portland City Council.
Folks, come forward. I'm going to be very brief in introduction. I wanted to report back to the City Council, who has been a passionate group of champions for the city stepping up its partnership with helping to ensure that all Portlanders succeed. And they have made new investments in education at almost every level. And so today we're going to do a very speedy but heartfelt report and thank you to the City Council on what we've been doing. And with that, I'd turn it over to the Mayor's Director of Education, Khalid Ladd.
Hello. So by now, you have probably heard about the promising results in PPS with a 5% increase in graduation rates overall and as high as 14% in schools like Roosevelt. Momentum has been building in this city, and the City Council's investment in education has not gone unnoticed. As you know, there are four major strategies that our education investments have honed in on, all of which have been focused on increasing graduation rates and increasing post-secondary education access. Before you is a document that highlights some of what these investments have yielded. It's a by-the-numbers document, and I'd like to draw your attention to a few key points. Through our Future Connect outreach strategy, we have committed 25,500 hours of service to capacity building. Oh, you're just getting.
Thank you.
We've committed 25,500 hours of service to help build capacity in our communities for more youth to access post-secondary. 6,400 youth in our community received cards that told them key steps that they need to take in order to get to college. We've had 48 business leaders step up and volunteer to go into schools and talk about what the career opportunities are within our economic development cluster areas. We've leveraged nearly $750,000 because of the investment that all of you were willing to make in Cradle to Career to help that pipeline of youth be successful. And we've served over 2,000 youth this summer in providing career and workforce experiences, again, because of your investment. 94% of the youth surveyed said that they are feeling more motivated to graduate because of their experience with Summer Youth Connect. So my hope, our hope, is that the numbers you see here and the testimony you hear today will reinforce the profound impact that all of you as City Council members are having through your investments on the most vulnerable population in our city, our youth. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to the president of Portland Community College, Preston Williams.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and to the commissioners. Thank you very much for this opportunity. I'm going to be very brief.
I've always said kind of the key to addressing some of these challenges, and there are real challenges out there, as you're all aware, in terms of getting students to graduate and on to college and be successful in completing college. But I think there are three factors that are key. One is innovation, two is collaboration, and three is engagement. And what it means is bringing more people to the table, more partnerships, and being more innovative about how we're thinking about all of these strategies. And so, first of all, this program, Future Connect, does all three of those things. All three of those dynamics are part of this program. And thank you very much for being part of the collaboration part of it, the innovative part of it, and the engagement part in terms of, Mr. Mayor, your support and the commissioner's support in terms of the funding scenario. I want to quickly introduce our board chair, who's here to also show the support of the board of directors at our college, Mr. Jim Harper. Jim, could you just stand up, be recognized, please? He represents our seven elected board members who also, from a policy matter, said this program is key and one of our priorities and have voted to also put in-house funding into it. At this point, we are dealing with our first cohort. The first semester was very successful in terms of this partnership, and I'm sure you'll hear more about that from our program manager here. Mr. Mayor challenged me some time ago and said, look, we're going to put some money on the table, and Mr. President, it's your job to go out and match every one of those dollars. So thank you for that challenge. This chart will show that we are succeeding in terms of that. The commitment from the city, $360,000, and so far through our foundation, through gifts from business and foundations throughout the community, we've now raised $460,000 plus.
We're not normally allowed to applaud, but this is amazing. Applaud. This is amazing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. President.
It could not have happened without your seed money, Mr. Mayor. This is about supporting not just students graduating and being successful, but this supports really, really economic development, skilled job workforce. It's all about a better quality of life for our region and our city. So, again, thank you very much. I'm going to turn over to Josh, who's going to talk a little bit about the program.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Thank you for letting us be here and speak on behalf of the program. I can speak specifically to the program and what we've done up to this point. Currently, we have 130 students enrolled, and we've been working with many of these students since last spring while they were in high school. 70% of these students identify as individuals of color, and 90% of them recognize as first-generation college students. I can say that many of them are here with us today, so if I could recognize the Future Connect students from PCC who are in the crowd, if they wouldn't mind standing up.
Yay! And if I could interrupt you, I got to stop by one of the classes and have some questions and answers about how to present, how to do public speaking. And they were good, tough questions and clearly very talented people who are part of this effort. So keep at it.
Thank you. I'm trying to model that right now, I think. each of these students are receiving the scholarship money, but equally important, they're also receiving engagement supports and case management from us on a daily basis. We feel lucky to work with each of these students, and we feel it's a unique approach of a mixture of financial supports coupled with the intensive case management that allow for our increased success. And the success is showing in our first fall term retention rate. So we had 87% move on to winter term, and that can be compared to a typical community college. Right now, 73% are going on to winter, so we are 15% better than that. Additionally, we're working on outreach efforts right now in all the Multnomah County high schools. We've already touched base with over 400 students and connected with families of those students to help begin this early process of engagement to break down that kind of culture that often exists between high school and college. Next year, we hope to have 200 recipients begin in fall, so we are off to a great start, and with your support, we'll continue doing this. With that, I would like to pass it to Victoria Rodriguez, one of our students who could better speak to how the program has affected her.
Hello. As he said, my name is Victoria Rodriguez, and I am currently enrolled in the Future Connect program. And I am, like many others, the first in my family to graduate from high school and go on to college. For me, college didn't truly feel like an option, and because neither of my parents had finished college, always looking out for me and my little sister. I was told repeatedly that I had to go, but when I was halfway through high school, I felt like it would never happen. What if I had failed, and what if I couldn't make my mom proud? Once I became a senior in high school, I started working on scholarships and came across the Future Connect scholarship for PCC. And I thought, why not? I might have a chance. And when I received the email from the program saying that I had been accepted, I finally felt like I was on my way. The next thing I know, I'm working with a college success coach. We met several times before I graduated, and then I went to the summer workshop and found other people who could relate to my situation. They were the first in their own families to go on to college, too. And now I am here before you, and I am a successful college student. What this program has done for me is beyond words. It has not so much changed me as it has brought out the best in me. And if I didn't know what the next step was, the program leaders were there to help me. When it felt like I didn't have any options, someone was always there to show me the way. And I am, and I always will be grateful for PCC, the City of Portland, and the Future Connect program for their efforts in making my future and others a success. Thank you.
That was a great presentation.
Thank you.
I'm sure your mother is very proud of you.
So if we could give you some thank you letters that our students have put together for each of the commissioners and the mayor, can we approach and give these to you?
And I just want to thank all of you again, Mr. Mayor, your leadership for creating a career and the 40-40-20. This is all just a small part of all that entire effort. So keep up your good work, and thank you for your support, commissioners.
Thank you all very much. You did fantastic. That was great.
Thank you so much.
While folks are getting settled, the council might not have heard that the new name of the new Countywide Schools Foundation is called All Hands Raised. And we have with us the co-chair of our effort on Cradle to Career. And so would you like to begin?
Absolutely. My name is Sarah Mensah, and I am the co-chair of Cradle to Career Council. And I'd like to thank the council and the city for the support so far for this initiative. We wouldn't have been able to be in the position that we are in at this point were it not for your support. So thanks again for all that you're doing. In short, I don't have to tell this group that we are failing to meet the needs of our students. We have lots of work to do. I think it's 53.9% is the combined rate of free and reduced lunch in Multnomah County. For students here, 55% of fifth grade students meet benchmarks for math, and if you look at that, according to African American students, it's only 28%. And then, you know, we all know that our economic future really is dependent on doing better and seeing these numbers increase and improve. Of course, when we look at graduation rates, we were happy to see that those rates most recently are coming up, getting better. There's lots of momentum at this point, which is exciting, but we still have a tremendous amount of work to do. As you can see, the Multnomah County graduation rates are still far below what I think any of us would consider acceptable at this stage. So, you know, where we are today is a totally new place where I think as a community there is a new vision, and that vision is a collaborative, shared vision for where we want to go with our youth. And we've galvanized that vision around five clear goals: that kids would arrive prepared for school, ready for school, that they'd be supported both in and out of school, that they'd succeed academically once they're in school, that they'd enroll in college or preparatory training, and then they'd complete that college and be ready to enter a career. Sounds big, hairy, and audacious. Also sounds simple, but there's going to be a lot of work to do to actually move us toward that place. So the idea of Cradle to Career and the real vision here of what's happening is that we're organizing our community into a framework that makes those goals a reality. I think you could, if we could rewind a couple years, you had a lot of great institutions in Portland, lots of great folks around the table, all similarly saying the same things, but potentially not looking at the same data, not looking at the same kids, not really aligned. And I think there was some movement that came in the form of the EdCab, that came in the form of Leaders Roundtable, Portland Schools Foundation, to actually begin to look at the same data. And so we got better. And I think we're in a position now where not only are we looking at the same data, the same kids, but really collaborating around solutions that we're going to use that will help improve and frankly, move the rock up the hill much, much quicker. It comes really to a structure that we're in today where the C2C partnership is housed at an organization that we're now calling All Hands Raised. It was formerly the Portland Schools Foundation. Again, thanks to the work the city and the council, we're in a position to be helping to steward this movement forward. The PSF board has appointed a council, and that council is made up of representatives across sector, across our city. Dan sits on the council. Sam sits on the council. It's a tremendous group of people all looking at the same same information and making decisions. There's a data team, which is a steering committee, data team and a steering committee, also part of All Hands Raised. And we'll be now moving this initiative forward as we look to go out and create collaboratives. So, you know, lots of work is underway, many things going forward. But the first thing that the council did was to organize our priorities, look at where, given the state of the union, really where are the three priorities that we want to first focus on. And those three priorities are eliminating the disparities that exist now for children and youth success, linking community and family supports to children and youth success, and finally, ensuring that all students enter school prepared to learn. So these are our first key priorities that we feel are important to organize around. And we're proud to say that RFPs went out to begin the work of forming collaboratives. Collaboratives, again, will be collective groups of organizations that all get together and focus on a particular strategic priority. They'll be developing their own indicators, their own data, and working together to understand how that data is working in improving the results for our students. We have a collaborative that's organized now around eliminating disparities in student success, and that collaborative is being led by the Coalition of Communities of Color. We have a collaborative that's formed now about linking in community and family supports. That collaborative is being led by Sun Service System Coordinating Council and Portland State University's Center for Improvement of Child and Family Services. And we have a Ready for Kindergarten collaborative that's been convened by Social Venture Partners of Portland, Multnomah County Commission on Children, Families, and Community. So the good work is already being done. What collaboratives do, again, They align around those strategic priorities. They create action plans. They look at indicators, and that moves forward again and again and again. You know, again, this whole initiative wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for a group of very, very helpful pioneering investors. Again, the city being some of those pioneering investors, so we'd want to thank those groups. And what we expect in the coming year is more momentum. We'll be finalizing the key indicators and the target improvements that we'll be looking at collectively as a community to determine whether or not we're actually continuing to move the needle. We'll be publishing a report this fall about the results of those indicators. We'll be getting reports from these collaboratives that have been formed, initially these three, but we expect to have many more collaboratives. And finally, we will be bringing more collaboratives on board. So again, thank you all for your support. We're very excited about the momentum that's moving forward and look forward to talking about great results in the future.
Thank you for your service on the board. You made that report like a professional educator and a systems analyst. Would you tell the folks at home what your day job is?
In my day job, which is not nearly as fun, I am the chief operating officer for the Portland Trailblazers.
Thank you for all the good work in the community and for being part of this.
Thank you. And you and Greg Cantor are co-chairs of the Cradle to Career Council, and you're doing a fantastic job. It is a business startup, and I want to underscore our thanks to the many, many volunteer hours that you put into this. We really appreciate it.
Great. Well, I'm Heather Ficht. I direct Youth Workforce Investments for Work Systems, Inc., and thank you so much for having us here today. I'm going to specifically be talking about Summer Works, which is a program of Summer Youth Connect in the Continuum, and it's really the summer employment opportunity. So work-based learning is really key for young people being prepared to enter careers and, frankly, to enter college. In addition, it can be a motivating factor for young people to complete school. And right now, the labor participation rate, which is how unemployment on the adult side is measured for young people, is at the lowest rate that it has been in recorded history, so since World War II. And so the city's investment in the Summer Works program has been really foundational in building a strong base from which we were able to work to increase the private sector and other public sector entities to start supporting young people in their work. So this summer was the third summer that we worked with the city around Summer Works, and 100 young people got to work within city bureaus and had fabulous experiences. And from my understanding, even inspired some existing bureau staff to kind of be re-energized about the work that they do, kind of getting to see it from new eyes. So it's really, really exciting. Overall, the program served 205 youth. 100 of those slots were really funded the wages by the city, and it's really meaningful.
And we've hired.
You've hired.
Sorry to skip ahead in your point.
No, that's a really big deal.
I'm just so excited.
Yeah, exactly. So 73% of the youth that we served this summer were youth of color. 98% are low income. And I think that the big news for me is really that it was able to help us leverage additional investments through both Home Forward, which was Housing Authority of Portland, and Multnomah County, both subsidized wages for 25 slots each for youth that are in their programs, so, and in the county.
And a big thanks to Commissioner Loretta Smith, who
Absolutely.
Has really been a huge champion for this, along with the board, the chair on the county side.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it also helped us to show a record of success and increase. We doubled our private sector investments in the program this summer. We had 22 private sector slots, and the private sector fully subsidizes them. So Work Systems manages the leverage around kind of the infrastructure, and then the public sector partners pay the wages. So bottom line, 90% of the youth returned to high school, post-secondary, or became employed or joined the military. Highly successful program. We're hugely appreciative of the investment, and we're seeing returns on that. Youth earned $250,000 in wages this summer and worked over 30,000 hours. So thank you very much. In addition, Work Systems manages the business license tax credit that both Mayor Adams and Commissioner Saltzman have put forward. And I would like to introduce the very first recipient of said business license tax credit. Andrew Rossler is with Bowley Welch.
Thanks. My name is Andrew Beeks.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Thank you all very much for having me, and especially to you, Heather, for inviting me here today. Most importantly, thanks for the $500 tax credit. We really appreciate that. It was a complete surprise. I work with Bowley Welch Consulting and Recruiting. We're a local woman-owned business that's been here in Portland for over 26 years now. We're comprised of 25 diverse people representing over a dozen nonprofits, including Outside In, who I personally work with, as well as CASA, the I Had a Dream Foundation, Oregon Humane Society, Women for Success, and Community Warehouse. Each employee in our company is allotted 13 days paid annually to donate to the charity of their choice, and we use a lot of them. My work with Outside In started as a not-so-subtle attempt to get in good with my new employer, because I just started there. They needed someone to basically solicit donations from the office so that we could purchase movie tickets for the participants at Outside In. Once I took a tour of Outside In and realized the work that they do, I decided to take it a step further, and we created a mock interview program. So far, what we do every month, actually, is up to 6 recruiters from our office bring in up to 6 students from the outside in Job Resource Training Center, and we interview them. We give them a chance at an interview in a professional environment that they would otherwise not necessarily have. Most of these kids have not managed to hold on to a job, not managed to attain a job, and part of it is because they were never given a chance to learn the basic skills that we all have been fortunate to learn. So far, there have been over 30 participants in the program. We hired one onto our payroll. Back in November or December, I got a call from Heather, and to be honest, I really didn't have any idea what she was talking about. Because she was offering $500 as a tax credit, and it was completely out of the blue, and it was such a generous offer. But I'm not a tax person or an accountant, and I really am a bassoon major who somehow happened into recruiting. So I referred her to our account controller in the office, who knew basically what to do. And honestly, if I'd have looked a little more into it, I would have realized how easy it actually was. We simply deducted $500 off of our Portland business license tax and then submitted the certificate that she mailed to us in with our annual filing. So really, thank you, and thank you all for that. While $500 might not seem like a huge amount of money, especially given the nature of the market right now, it was extremely generous and so validating for us because as a company, we do pride ourselves so heavily on the work we're able to do. We really pride ourselves on the connections we've been able to make between Portland's for-profit and nonprofit entities. And in a time where every penny counts to all of these businesses, any incentive at all can only help to sort of create more connections and bolster those existing ones. So thank you all so much for your time, and thank you again for the $500 tax credit.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. Nate, good to see you. Is that it? One more person or one more panel? One more person. All right, one more. Come on up. One more panel. Welcome. Glad you're here. Welcome back. Would you like to begin?
Yes, thank you. My name is CJ Mead, and I have the honor of serving as the SUN coordinator at David Douglas High School for Metropolitan Family Service since this last August. I'd also like to introduce John Beyer, the principal at David Douglas High School, and assistant principal Sharon Webster. We're extremely grateful to the mayor's office and to the city council for the opportunity to bring SUN to David Douglas High School. In the last 6 months, we've worked diligently to identify the needs of this diverse community in East County, and have made significant strides by providing students academic support, implementing programs rooted in youth engagement and student voice, creating parent engagement programs, building strong relationships with community partners, and providing social services to families that remove barriers to educational success. David Douglas SUN provides opportunities to over 300 students enrolled in activities during the critical after-school hours. By collaborating with David Douglas High School Scott Center Tutoring, SUN has created a section of tutoring specifically targeted to English language learners 4 days a week. In partnership with ERCO, we offer Somali students weekly tutoring from community volunteers. These activities give ELL students the extra assistance needed to manage both learning a new language while also mastering content necessary to earn credits to be on track to graduate. Our African American Student Union links culturally specific youth leadership activities with after-school tutoring and post-secondary education exploration. We offer a guitar class in partnership with Artichoke Music and an electronic music production class through local nonprofit My Voice Music. All these activities have been intentionally created to match and support David Douglas High School's school improvement plan for 2011-2012. At Metropolitan Family Service, we value students as leaders and work to include youth engagement and voice into our school community programs. At the outset of this school year, we partnered with City Youth Planners and Multnomah Youth Commissioners to survey David Douglas students on how they would like to see SUN serve them. We recently received the results and are working to turn the students' voice into action. Our MFS AmeriCorps member leads our SUN Student Activity Board to create a consistent medium for student voice in our programming. SUN partnered with the Bureau of Planning Sustainability to bring the Youth Atlas Project to David Douglas. These students identify how they can improve the community they live in by community mapping and needs assessment for their neighborhood. Kamisha Robinson from the Multnomah County is leading a Youth Against Violence group that will launch a campaign to end youth violence in our community. We've also developed a comprehensive list of culturally specific programming to serve the diverse needs of the David Douglas community, including a Somali club, Asian Pacific Islander club, Latino club, Slavic Heritage Club, and the already mentioned African American Student Union. Another core aspect of MFS community school work is support for families. At David Douglas Sun Community School, parent engagement has become a primary focus. Last fall, we partnered with the Slavic Community Center to offer a 12-week long civic engagement and citizenship classes twice a week. We're offering weekly adult ESL classes this winter, and next month launch our monthly Latino Parent Nights that will focus on assisting parents in navigating their students' educational experience. We're also offering Catholic Charities El Programa Hispanos Juntos program to families to explore paths to post-secondary education. We were recently awarded a grant from East Portland Action Plan to implement our parent engagement project, which will bring translation and transportation services to engaging traditionally unengaged populations, increasing educational access for all students. There can be many barriers to a student's academic success, from hunger to mental health issues. Sun, working closely with school staff, strives to remove these barriers. Last fall, we served nearly 2,000 meals to students at our evening dinner program. We started an emergency food pantry at our Sun School for struggling families. Our partnership with Human Solutions provides families with an opportunity to access transitional housing and rental assistance. We set up systems of collaboration and communication with 24 local agencies to provide services to students and have leveraged over $30,000 for our students in need. We've accomplished all this in the last 6 months. Momentum is building every day. Students are developing buy-in. We're becoming embedded into the David Douglas School community. A recent study from the Department County of Human Services stated that Sun students are more likely to have higher attendance and earn more credits than non-Sun students. I see this firsthand every single day. Last month, a student who, by all traditional standards, would be considered at risk told me that all weekend, all he can think about is coming to school so he can continue to work on his hip-hop track with our My Voice music class. We're very excited about the impact that we've had in the David Douglas community over the last 6 months, and are very much looking forward to the opportunity to build on this work in the coming years. So thank you very much for all of your support and efforts in this area.
Thanks for helping to get the program started, and the great principal of David Douglas.
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's great to see you again. And I guess, you know, every time I hear CJ speak, it's hard to believe that what he's accomplished already in just 6 months out there. It's just incredible. And so it's an honor for me to be here today to support him and what Sun has done, and to also thank you for, you know, including us into the budget and with your kind item. I guess the thing is, I don't know if you pay any attention or not, but we've had some modest gains in graduation rate and with our achievement rate at David Douglas. And you know, our concern is taking it to the next level. We've got some real obstacles to overcome. You know, depending on the day, we've got 64, 65 different languages spoken at our school as first languages, 74% poverty. And so with that comes some real issues with kids. CJ, in the time that he's been there, has put together a lot of academic supports for those kids. And so I feel like those things are going to help us get to the next level. The other thing is, you know, that comes along with that is just the connectedness to school. And so with the hip-hop club, with guitar, with those kinds of things, our halls are filled after school. And they're filled for all the right reasons. The kids are not on the streets. They're in our school doing constructive things, which can only lead to advancement in the future. And so we appreciate all of those things, and we look forward to the continued help and support by the city. Thank you so much.
Thanks for your great work.
Say that your high school graduation gains, I think, were more than modest, like 9%?
Yeah, I think we went to 70%.
Yeah, from like 61.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
I hear it's
good. More than modest.
Yeah. I hear it's good leadership in the principal's office. What do you hear?
Well, I hope so. Yeah.
Could you tell us your name, then, those at home, your name?
I'm sorry. John Beyer.
Thank you.
Principal Beyer.
I knew that, but I wanted everybody to know that, because when you've got those kind of spectacular gains, you do need to take some credit.
Thank you so much. I have a great staff.
Two things that I wanted to say. I'm Sharon Webster. I'm one of the assistant principals. And CJ and I share an office area. And, of course, being an assistant principal, I see a lot of kids for the wrong reasons. But I'm seeing less kids coming in our office for the wrong reasons and heading over to his office for the right reasons as far as getting connected with all these activities. So that's one thing I want to share. But the other thing is,
for me, an important piece besides all of this is that parent engagement piece, that schools can't do it alone. We need parents as partners. And with the challenges that we have at David Douglas, that's one piece that we've struggled with, getting more of our parents engaged, and especially parents, you know, that don't speak English, and parents that are afraid of school or think that their kids can do high school all on their own, and we know that they can't do that. And so seeing parents in our school on a regular basis has been fabulous. And I was able to attend an ESL class last Thursday, and they know my name now. It was awesome. They can wave. They know my name. And so this week I go in and I've got to learn their names. And it was a classroom full of parents on a Thursday night, and it was great. So that's another piece that Sun has done for us, is bringing parents into our school and breaking down those walls and those barriers.
Thank you all, and congratulations.
So I had the joy of planting trees with Friends of Trees on Saturday with Ann Downing and about 20-some students from David Douglas High School.
Some small young students.
Yeah. It was amazing. We're in the gathering, and this six students sitting around the table, and Mrs. Downing introduced me to them, each from a different country, yeah, each speaking a different language, each very much enjoying the David Douglas community and willing to volunteer getting up out of bed by choice on a Saturday morning, which I was really impressed with. But I heard that you lost 64 teachers at David Douglas this year. Is that right?
At the high school, 30.
30 at the high school. Mm-hmm. And a number of those needing to be English as a second language teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important to recognize that the city and all of us are working together to do as much as we can within the confines of Measure 5. We still have the biggest piece, which is providing enough state school support to actually fund teachers in school. So I commend you for the gains that you've made despite the challenges over the last many years.
Well, thank you, and we appreciate the continued fight for funding.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you all very much. All right. Motion. How many?
Public testimony. We have 8 people.
Oh, my goodness. So we're out of our allotted time for this. I apologize. Is there anyone who is here to oppose the? Do we have students that signed up to speak on this? How many of you like this program? Raise your hand. Okay. I apologize, but to keep us on track, if you wouldn't mind submitting your testimony by email, that would be great. Is that all right? Because we've got folks waiting for the next one. And thank you, everyone, for being here. We're going to take a 2-minute break just to switch things out. And but before we do that, I move acceptance of the report.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the roll?
Fritz.
Well, thank you, Mayor Adams, for your leadership on this. You have indeed followed in the footsteps of your mentor, Mayor Katz, in being an education mayor and in making very clear that the city will do whatever we are legally allowed to do and whatever the generosity of the taxpayers of Portland allows us to do in providing support outside of school hours and doing what we can to support those programs in school hours. I particularly note the 14% increase in graduation rates at Roosevelt High School, and I think that's in part due to the city's investment, the taxpayers' investment of $200,000 into their new sports field, because just like that we heard of the student at David Douglas who wants to get up to go to hip-hop class. I know my son was always wanting to get up and get into school and get his grades done so he could go to football after class. So those things all matter. That's part of the community. And everyone being here today and this great report, thanks to Kelly Ladd, who's been an absolutely amazing leader of the education team, and your whole staff for pulling it together and helping all of us recognize that investment in our youth is investment in jobs. It is investment in our future, and we all need to succeed or none of us succeed. Thank you for your good work. Aye.
Fish.
The last time I saw Preston, at about this time in the presentation, Senator Carter got up and we raised some money. Because we don't have enough time today. But I'm reminded that if you look at the charter of the city of Portland, it doesn't have any reference to education as being the core mission of the city. But I think everyone in this room agrees that if our children are not successful and if the next generation doesn't get the tools they need to be successful, then everything else that we're doing probably fails. So I'm proud to be on a council that's prioritized spending for education during tough times. Thank you, Mayor, for your leadership, and thanks to all of our distinguished guests today for joining us. Aye.
Leonard?
So as I've said here before, it wasn't so much that I was the first person in my family to go to college. It was that I was the least likely person in my family to go to college. And without getting into all the gory details, Sharon, where are you? The vice principal at David Douglas High School. She said that she knew a lot of students for not the best reasons. I would have known Sharon very, very well, and even Mr. Beyer on occasion. Somehow, some way, without the programs that exist today, as wonderful as this is, I somehow found my way in the fall of 1970 to a brand new campus at Sylvania, Portland Community College, Preston, I didn't go as a result of being encouraged by anybody. I didn't go as a result of a scholarship. I got a student loan and had a job and an apartment on 20th and Hawthorne, and somehow ended up there, and it was just one of the most inspiring periods of my life when I entered that different world, going from high school to, and the restrictions and all the things that high school students deal with, to a college where they didn't care if the students came or not. You know, you came to class, you either participated or not, and it was just an atmosphere that allowed me as a very young man to grow and then go on to Portland State and do things that early in my life I never thought I'd be interested in. So I'm not surprised to see Portland Community partnered in a program like this, and I was sorry to see all the kids leave because I wanted them to hear what, you know, for me was just such an inspiring experience, not just at Sylvania, but at Old Cascade campus before the new campus that is there now, and I had equally inspirational experiences there as well. So thank you for working on this program. I know there are a lot of kids that whose lives are different as a result of it, and I'm appreciative of Sam's focus and Amanda's focus on making this program available to so many students. It means a lot. Thank you.
Adams.
Well, thanks to the students who have applied for the scholarships, and 87%, so almost 9 out of 10 that are still enrolled in our first class of scholarship winners. Very inspired, and to their families and friends who support them. I want to underscore thanks to President Pulliam and Jim Harper's here and others that help make Portland Community College the best community college system in the United States. And your willingness to step up in very difficult funding times to match our scholarships. And we're working next with Mount Hood Community College to grow our partnership there. I want to thank Dan, Ryan, Nate, the staff team. I already mentioned the great volunteer leadership team at All Hands Raise and the C2C Council. You know, the results are early, but they're very strong and shows that we're on the right path and we need to continue to move forward. Some of the gains, a class of 2011 was the first class that has had 3 or 4 years of a lot of these programs and have experienced a lot of the reforms. And so a 9% very rigorous accounting, a 9% increase in high school graduations at David Douglas, a 5% at Portland Public Schools. We've got ways to go, but boy, that's a shot of hope and momentum and a sense of accomplishment that's got to keep us going. So my thanks to, I think, the best leadership team in the schools we've had. And I've been around these parts a long time. We've got board member Martin in the audience who'll be in the here next. I'm you know, all the superintendents, all the board members, it's just been fantastic. And then finally, everyone, Cully Ladd, Todd Diskin, Reese Lord, our new Samir, part of our team, Maggie, all of our VISTA volunteers who make a core of the most passionate education reformers I've had the honor to work around on the mayor's education team. Thank you for letting me give this like Academy Award kind of thank you. But it, you know, these results are really amazing, and it shows we got to push forward. And I'm very proud to serve on, save the most important for last, I'm very proud to serve on an education city council for the city of Portland. These folks up here don't necessarily get the recognition they deserve for the way that they support education in very, very important ways. And so I want to thank each and every one of you. Aye. Report is accepted. We're going to take a 3-minute break to change out audiences. If you want to stay for the next item, that's great, but feel free to leave. We'll reconvene in 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes.